Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, high noon in the District of Columbia. It's time for us to welcome in our friend, Mr. Ruben Frank, NBC Sports Philadelphia, via the BetQL guest line. Presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game. Streaming now on Odyssey. Rube, what's going on, man? Thanks for making some time for us.
You got it. Anytime. What's going on?
Good, brother.
There's plenty to discuss, but I wanted to ask, what are your memories from covering a veteran, Brian Mitchell?
Nice guy.
B. Mitch was the man. I loved it, especially when he started getting into shouting matches in the locker room with unnamed Philadelphia Daily News columnist.
I remember one of the highlights.
Because it was a guy that we all, you know, we've all got into our share of shouting matches with, but, you know, B. Mitch handled it beautifully, and I was very proud of him. So I've been a fan of B. Mitch since that day in the locker room. I'm sure he remembers it well.
Oh, yeah. I remember that like it was yesterday, man.
I cannot wait for us to go to commercial and me to get that whole story. You can follow Ruben at Rube, R-O-O-B, N-B-C-S. Been covering the Eagles for a long time, and you can hear him on WIP up there. And Ruben knows his stuff.
Another member of the Odyssey family of stations, I might add.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot to talk about, and we could go a lot of different ways here. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about Carson, even if it's annoying for you. Let's talk.
It's fine. Whatever you got.
Let's start with this linebacker that the Commanders just signed that played a few years with the Eagles, Nate Jerry. According to social media, nobody in Philly's that fond of this kid, but social media is not fond of anybody, really.
That's true. I believe he goes by Nate Gary, but he was a big track guy. So I always would talk to Nate back at his locker about, I think he was a state champ in the 400 back in the day. But so Nate, he's fine. He's all right. You know, I wouldn't want to play him 70 snaps a game, but that was the problem here. He was playing too much because their linebackers, their linebackers have been bad up until this year for about 80 years. He was playing too much, but as a situational guy and a special teamer, he's fine. I don't have any problem with Nate Gary. He had a pick six once upon a time, and he's active, he's quick, he's athletic. He's just not a real big guy. He's not going to help you out in the run game a whole lot, but he's got some ability as a cover linebacker and a guy who can blitz here and there.
I think that's, you know, when you're bringing a guy like that and they have problems at linebacker, we were hoping, I was hoping that they were bringing somebody that could be somebody to help them out in the run game, because they had issues stopping people when people wanted to run. So you say he's not very good in the run game, that makes me wonder why the hell did they bring him in?
Well, it's not his strength. He's not a super stout guy. He's more of a, you know, athletic, moving around cover linebacker. But again, he's not a guy I'd want to play more than 25, maybe 30 snaps a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a depth guy, and who knows really if he's even going to make this team. But
good special teamer, though. Good special teamer.
Maybe he takes Troy Apke's spot. We'll find out. let's switch to what is always going to be the topic this season between Washington and Philadelphia, and that's Carson Wentz. You covered him. You saw the highs, the lows. How about we start here? I am of the belief that we have seen an elite Carson Wentz and we've seen a terrible Carson Wentz. And all the stuff in the middle has been pretty good. So what I always tell B. Mitch and my expectations for Carson is that I want to just throw out 2017, which is the
elite, like a handicap.
The elite outlier. Right, I'm making a handicap here. Yeah. I think 2017, he was so damn good, but that was before he ever got any of these injuries and his body started to break down. I'm throwing that out as an outlier. And then 2020 was so awful, and he was obviously going through hell with the team. Whoever's fault it was doesn't really matter to me now, but everything was going sideways in 2020. So if I just look at the body of work from the other seasons, I think you've got a pretty good player here. Does that seem like a reasonable way for us in D.C. to approach this?
No.
All right. No, because
here's the thing with Carson. There is not much of a middle. Like, he's either incredible or he's awful. If you look at his career, there's not a lot of games where Carson's just pretty good. You know, he had a pretty good game. Carson was good. It wasn't doing anything special, but he's either really bad or really good most of the time. And that's the frustrating thing, because you don't know which one you're going to get from week to week. And, you know, I can't explain why. I mean, Nick Foles was the same way, honestly. And, you know, you're looking for that consistency where guys just, you know, really good week to week. I mean, there was a stretch last year with the Colts where he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league for like a 10-week period. You know, after that 0-3 start and before those last two games, if you look at his production, I mean, it was the problem is he just can't string those games together, and obviously in critical games he's been really bad in those must win type of games. So I can't figure the guy out. He obviously has a ton of talent. I do think, like you said, the injuries have changed the way he plays, but not the way he tries to play. I think he believes he's still the same pre-ACL Carson, pre-back injury Carson, concussion Carson. He's just not that guy. He can't move like that guy. He can't escape like that guy. He's not elusive like that guy, but he still tries to be that guy. And, you know, I think so many quarterbacks have to adjust their game. And if you can do it, like when you lose your running ability or injuries pile up, you're just not as fast as he used to be. I mean, when I covered Randall Cunningham, the guy was running like 15 times a game for 85 yards. When he was the MVP in Minnesota with Billick, he never ran. Mm-hmm. I mean, he never ran. He had like six carries that year that weren't kneel down. So you got to be able to adjust to what your body is telling you and who you are physically, and so far he hasn't done that. And I think he can have some really good games, but my biggest question is, can he do it at the biggest moments? Can he do it consistently? Can he be that guy on that critical 3rd and 7 with the game on the line? And that's what he hasn't been able to do. It's tough to figure. And I like Carson. I got along fine with Carson. I think he wants to do well. He works hard. There's just something a little bit off about the way he plays on some critical downs where he'll try to throw it over his head or behind his back or whatever, you know, kind of that Brett Favre syndrome at the end of his career where, that whole gunslinger. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can do it, but most people can't do it. So if he figures out a way to play within himself and not try to do too much and – you know, not try to be Superman on those key plays. You have a pretty good quarterback. He's got a lot of ability, and he's tough. He's a really tough guy. But I don't know. He's 30 now, and he's never done that over a full season.
See, that's the thing I look at. I look at, like, when I look at football players, a lot of times I look at more of their mental toughness than I do their physical toughness.
Sure.
Because the guys that are mentally tough can handle just about anything, and they don't give a damn about what people say. Carson seems to be bothered by how Philly was. D.C. is not as tough as Philly. But there are some of us, Brian Mitchell, inside the media that would take him to task on some things. And I wonder, do you see him being able to handle – when things are going good, everything's great. When things are going bad, he seems to fall into the I point fingers instead of taking blame. Do you see him being able to handle that if things don't work out as good as they would hope?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I just don't know the answer because he's never been the most accountable guy, and we noticed that early on in his career where, you know, if he had a big game, it was me, and if he struggled, it was we. You know, well, we all, you know, the offense just never we just as a group never got rolling. Well, what about those two interceptions? Well, you know, we as an offense were just out of sync. You know. So and that's something that always bothers me. I want to see accountability, and I think teammates do as well. And I think that kind of goes to the heart of why he's had issues with some of his teammates, because they want a quarterback who, if your quarterback messes up, that's fine. Every quarterback does that at some point, but stand up there and put it on yourself, and guys will play hard for you. And when you don't, they hear it, they notice it, and it affects that relationship. That's a really important relationship. So, to me, that's a huge thing with Carson. You know, be accountable. You know, ignore what people are saying, and if he can learn to do that, you got yourselves a quarterback.
We'll find out. And the tough part that I'm at least hyper cognizant of, talking with our friend. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about how disastrous the quarterback development progress has been in Washington, right? We're talking with our friend Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia. The part that I can't shake out of my brain is how bad Washington is with quarterbacks. And so now we're trying here to make this thing work. Like, obviously Philly's a tougher market, but D.C., the way they – and I suppose I'm part of this. Like, it's not an easy place to win, and it hasn't been for 20 years. How do you think this shakes out, Rube?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot, and you know, I got so much respect for Ron Rivera. I mean, I was here with him his first, what I guess from 99 to 03 when he was here. So he was here when Donovan McNabb, another guy that we could have the same conversation about, but when Donovan went from being a rookie who was in way over his head to being a Super Bowl guy and a Pro Bowler and, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league for about a 4 or 5 year stretch. So, I mean, I have so much respect for Ron. Obviously, he's a defensive coach, but I think that it's going to come down to Carson has to change the way he is, and I just don't know if he can do that. I don't think he's going to have a bad year. I don't think he's going to be like the 2020 Carson Wentz. He's got good weapons. I mean, I like the weapons that are down there, and he's got guys to throw to. But to me, it's not about the stats. It's like you look at the stats from the Colts last year. I mean, his numbers, if you don't look at the way he got there, if you look at his numbers, that guy was a borderline Pro Bowler last year.
Right.
You know, touchdowns and interceptions.
4-1 TD INT.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, and he's been that his whole career other than the 1 year. But, it, you know, when you're faltering on only those critical plays that come up in every game, you know, those two or three plays, your stats are going to look good, but you're not a winner. So he's got to change that about himself. And I think ultimately he'll put up good numbers this year because he usually does. But is he going to win a playoff game? Is he going to win 10 or 11 games? Is he going to be consistently above average? Is he going to be elite? He's got to show me he can, because I'm skeptical at this point. But I think when all is said and done, like, he'll be a really good fantasy quarterback for people that want to play fantasy, because he's gonna throw for 260 every game with a couple touchdowns, and he'll keep the interceptions down. He'll complete 63-64% of his passes, but you know, that's not how you win. You know, on those critical downs, those critical snaps, that 3rd and 7. You know, down on the 28-yard line with 4 minutes left, what happens on that play? That's going to determine who he is. And so far, he just hasn't been good enough on those plays.
See, Ruben, that's what troubles me a little bit. I believe that he's probably the best quarterback as far as physical talent that they've had here in a long time. But right. I look at those crucial. Like, I've always said, a guy could come out and throw four touchdowns in the first two quarters. But if he throws the interception at the most crucial time of the game consistently, people are going to judge him off of that, not what he did in the first quarter.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I see him as, like, I know a lot of people think that other cities just gave up on him, but I look at the fact that he's in his 7th, 8th year, and he still consistently does the thing that he did when he was young. And
yeah.
that troubles me somewhere. The veteran guy hasn't learned to be consistent in the moments he needs to be more consistent at.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of guys that learn that at this point in his career. Like you said, he's in year 7. So who's going to get through to him? Who's going to
– Right.
And is he capable of being that guy not trying to be superhuman on those key plays? And, you know, sometimes throwing the ball out of bounds is the best thing to do. And, he's and not throwing it to triple coverage and, trying to be Superman. So not a lot of guys learn that at this point in his career, in their careers. But if he does, he still has a chance to be special because there's a lot of good things to like about his game.
Talking with our boy Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow at Rube NBCS. Let's talk about the team you do cover. The team that I think might be the winner of the NFC East this year. How are the Eagles looking? How's Hurts looking? How's that defense looking?
Well, I'll start with the defense. They're so much improved. It's really something. They've added so many key pieces. You know, when you look at Reddick and you look at Bradbury, and they drafted N'Kobe Dean, and Jordan Davis has just been unreal. He looks amazing. Kazir White. I mean, they've improved the defense at every level, and they're fast and they're physical, and they're giving the offense way more challenging looks at practice than they got, really in the last few years. So the defense looks really good. I mean, they were a top 10 defense last year, and they basically overhauled it, and they got better at D tackle, at linebacker and at cornerback. So I think they're potentially very good. Now, when you have that many new pieces, how do you come together? How do you, what kind of chemistry do you have? Because that's such a big part of it, and that remains to be seen. But the talent is there, and the talent level is really high. Jalen Hurts has been pretty good. I think he's had an encouraging camp. I wouldn't say he's made huge strides, but he's getting rid of the ball quicker. He's thrown it more accurately. He's got a little more zip on the ball. He looks physically better. He just looks a little – his waist's the same. He's still about 220, but he just looks a little leaner, a little fitter in year 3 now. Still, just turned 24 a couple of days ago. And he's got, when you're throwing to A.J. Brown
so
instead of Jalen Reagor, you're going to look better. And he's got weapons, and, he's got Goddard, and he's got Devontae, and, so he's got Quez. He's got guys to throw to now for the first time. So, I mean, Jalen Reagor played 750 snaps last year and caught like 31 passes for 296 yards.
Wow.
So it's just such a handicap to have that on the field. Every time you drop back, there's a guy he's not going to make a play for you. And so they've kind of remedied that. A.J. Brown's had a heck of a camp, and they've been friends for a long time, and they're really building up some chemistry. So I think this is a much improved team. Year 2 with any coach, it's going to be a lot easier than year 1. Just you speak his language now, and you know what he wants. You know what the assistants want, and it's the same scheme. So you're not starting from scratch. So there's a lot to like about this team. But again, when you have this many new pieces, how does it all come together? And that's what we'll learn.
How much you think having A.J. Brown is going to be a positive influence to Devontae Smith?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I mean, he took him under his wing from day one. And, Devontae's a really mature kid. So as far as the off-the-field stuff, he was on the right track. But he's learning so much. Devontae said that he really wants to be a more physical player. He's kind of got the tag of being a fast, finesse guy. And he said A.J. Brown is as tough an inside receiver. Kind of reminds me of Irving Fryer, actually.
Oh, wow.
In that standpoint, just a guy who's so physical and tough and can catch the ball in traffic and just knock guys over. He's not going to run around you, but he'll run through you. And so
I've always said Anquan Boldin, the Irving Fryer one's interesting, but he plays that position tough, and not a ton of people do.
Right.
Rube, I wanted to ask you something a little bit different because –
we can talk some Sixers. I'm ready.
No, but the Commanders, from a ticket and fan perspective often make missteps. And yeah. The Eagles, good, bad, indifferent. I mean, I've been coming to the Link for a while. Beamish played there a while. You've been doing it a long time. That Eagles crowd is always elite and always into it, and the stadium always seems packed. How many training camp practices or whatever are open to fans in Philly? Is it only two? Like one at the Link and one at the practice facility?
No, just the one at the Link. That's the only one that's open. And they have a couple hundred fans at the ones at the NovaCare. They're limited by the city. When they built the NovaCare complex, part of the agreement was they couldn't have more than, I can't remember what the number is, it might be 200 fans. So they just have like a lottery among season ticket mm-hmm. holders, and you know, and then there's like some sponsors and that sure. kind of thing. So most fans just never get to see, you know, they had 30,000 at the Link on Sunday for the open practice.
Wow.
Because people want to see him so bad. And, you know, I mean, the crowds at Lehigh were amazing.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it's a shame. I mean, I understand why teams do that, but it's a shame that fans are kind of shut out of seeing him at practice. I mean, look, the Eagles have been good for like most of the last 30 years. And they haven't had many losing seasons. They're always competitive, pretty much. They've been well coached. They've had star players. They've had good quarterbacks. So you know, you string together, you know, 30 good years, or you know, 23 out of 30 are winning seasons. The fan base just keeps growing and growing and growing, and there haven't been many missteps that way. And I think they're really good at you know, just kind of the marketing end of it, and just kind of making fans feel like they're a part of things. Mm-hmm. And they're really good at that stuff, and they have been for a while. So, you know, Washington and the Eagles are in really similar. I mean, there's not that many teams that have been in the same city for that long. And I was going to say the same name. I mean, there's not many teams that have the same name and the same city. And they've even played in the same part of the city. So it's ingrained in the fabric of life here, and it's a really special thing. And you know, as long as they keep winning, it's just never going to change. Even when they're bad, I mean, fans go crazy about this team. So makes it fun to cover. And I mean, I think I started in '88, and I've only covered like what, six losing seasons.
Wow,
that's pretty amazing.
Hell yeah!
I mean. I started, yeah, dude. Like, I don't even want to do the math on that. I think I started in 14 and have covered one winning season. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Ruben, thank you for your time,
appreciate
man. We really
you,
appreciate it, dude.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. See you down the line.
All right. Man. That is Ruben Frank from Philadelphia. Give him a follow at RubeNBCS. When we come back, let's hear from Ron Rivera about how much his starters are going to play Saturday against the Panthers.
And also, we have a four-pack of tickets for the San Diego Padres and Nationals game this Sunday, August 14th, courtesy of Crop Metcalf. Caller number 10, 1-800-636-1067. You get the tickets. 1-800-636-1067.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.